Well, tonight we are going to look at another question in our series about questions and answers. And tonight we're looking at a very simple question about God. Why don't we start in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. Verse 15 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Let's go to prayer. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, for opportunities you give us each day to be a light and a witness in this place. Father, help us to be prepared and ready to give an answer to those who are seeking you. Lord, help us to remember some of the truths and verses that we learned tonight. Lord, help us not to worry when people ask questions. Help us, Lord, to lean on you for wisdom. And help us, Lord, to trust you to bring answers from your word back to our mind, and that we may be witnesses for you. Thank you for the blessed Holy Spirit that lives inside every believer. And he is our helper, he is our strength to witness. We pray that, Lord, the Spirit of God would teach us tonight, Lord, some truths that we can use to be better witnesses for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're looking tonight at the common question that people ask, which is often a very, sometimes a question that might upset us or take us aback. But people have questions and people like to ask questions. Not all of them are asked in order to argue. Some do, but some don't. And some innocently might ask you the question one day, who made God? Who made God? And we need to be prepared to have an answer. We need to know what the Bible says so that we can share with them the answer to that question. Now, it's a reasonable question because we know everything around us is made by someone or something. And that's the idea that we get used to. So it's not uncommon for someone to ask, who made God? Who made God? There is an origin, there is a beginning to everything. It's just a matter of looking into that particular area of life. And if you look scientifically, if you look at the evidence, then you can trace back and find the origin. But when we speak about God, well, we are speaking about one who is, as we've seen in Isaiah 57, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. God had no beginning. He has no ending. He is the self-existent one. And in Exodus chapter 3 there in your notes, just to, as a little introduction, you'll see when Moses asked God, when I go to Egypt, who should I tell them sent me? What does the Lord say in verse number 14? And God said unto Moses, what did he say? I am that I am. What a wonderful way for God to describe himself. He is the great I am. He is the self-existent one, the one who is always existent. Now, that's hard for us to, even as Christians, to comprehend. Now, what did the Lord say in John chapter 8, verse 58? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. What a confusing statement. But what the Lord was saying, obviously, I am the great I am also. I am God. I am the infinite, eternal God in the flesh. And God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. Eternal God, which has no beginning and they have no end. They are eternal. And that's not an easy thing to grasp. In fact, it's not even possible to grasp that truth other than faith in the Word of God. Amen. So we need to challenge people and encourage them to believe in what God says about himself. Because the fact that God had no beginning is mind-boggling. You know, our minds are limited. And we believe in usually what we can see. And it's hard for us to have faith in what we can't see. And by the grace of God, as Christians, we believe the word of God. But someone might ask you one day, well, who made God? Who made God? And we need to be prepared to share the answer with them. Now, man doesn't like the idea that there was no one that made God. Man doesn't like that idea at all. You know, scientists and philosophers, they will gladly admit that there are some things they do not know. But what they're saying is that they are in the process of finding out. If they applied the scientific process of observation, evaluation, looking at what is observable, then soon they will find out. That's what scientists declare. Though they do not know everything, they are discovering the answers. Now, it's one thing to admit that we are seeking to find out the proof of something. It's another thing to admit that we just simply need to accept who God is and what he says about himself, that the scientific process can never evaluate. You can't apply the scientific process to the nature of God. There are some visible evidences today, but God had no beginning. He has no ending. That is an eternal reality. And we need to bring someone's thought and thinking up to God's level, not down to our level. We can't bring God down to our level. He is not like us. We need to bring our thoughts up to his level. And that is why we need to simply explain to that person asking the question what the Bible says. Verses such as Isaiah, Exodus, John that we have already looked at about God's eternal nature. And what I like to do is when someone asks a question like that, explain a little bit about God and then direct it back to them. Because if God is God and no one made him, therefore he made us. And we are dependent on God. Point number one in your notes, mankind is dependent on God. No one made him, he made us. Therefore we are dependent. Your blank is the word dependent. Mankind is dependent on God. Have a look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. The Bible says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." A wonderful verse to note down and to show someone. Not only did God make everything, but he made everything for himself. He made everything that is visible that you can see, and also that is invisible that we cannot see. He made everything, and not only that, look at the end of the verse, and by him, what are the next words? All things consist. Because of God, we are here. In fact, it is God that holds everything together. God holds the universe together. God holds the world together. If he would simply take his hand off his creation for a millisecond, everything would be obliterated into utter oblivion. Everything would disappear in an instant. By him, all things consist. He is self-existent, but we are dependent on God. God does not come from us. We did not make God. He made us. And he is self-dependent, he is self-sufficient, and he is self-existent. That's the reality of our God. And we are dependent upon him. And here's a little illustration in your notes. You can say to them, look, have you ever seen the sun setting in Cairns? And I'm sure everyone would say yes. And it sets a little bit earlier here than it does in the Tablelands because we have the Great Dividing Range. We've got the mountains. And the sun sets behind the mountains. And you can say to them, you know, just like the sun beams vanish when a sun sets behind the mountains and it's suddenly cut off, it's bright, it's sunny, And, you know, you put the sunglasses on and you can't see because of the brightness of the sun, but suddenly it gets dark. And, you know, that's what would happen if God let go of you and I. We would instantly disappear into nothingness. By Him, all things consist. God holds everything together. Every time we wake up each morning, that is a gift from God. Amen. The gift of life. He gives us every moment of our day. He is self-existent. And we are not. We are in fact dependent upon God. He holds everything together. No one created God. And here's a little thought at the bottom of your page. If there is someone that made God, then there must be someone who made that someone who made God. And then the list would go on and on and on. But no matter how far back you would go, there would have to be an eternal being that created the first one created. There would have to be. And there is one who created all things, visible and invisible. And God is eternal. That is the simple answer to that question. And again, use the Word of God. Illustrations are good. Your own descriptions are good. But it's God's Word that describes His nature in the best way. Amen. The Word of God. For by Him were all things created. By Him all things consist. Use the Word of God. It's the power of the Word of God that will work in someone's heart that is seeking an answer to their questions. Point number two. If mankind is dependent on God, then mankind must return to God. We must return to God because we don't know Him. And you can say to that person, you know, the reason you're asking that question is because you don't know God. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. The reason you're asking that question is because you want to find out more. Well, the problem is we are separated from God. Have a look at Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7. Why don't we read this verse out loud together? It's there in your notes under point number two. Mankind must return. Your blank is the word return. Isaiah 55 and verse 7. Let's read it together on two. One, two. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. So there we have God calling us to return to Him. Why must we return to Him? Because we are separated. Sinful man in his sinful condition is separated from God. That's why we don't know who He is. That's why that person is asking that question. And always bring it back to the gospel, amen? We need to bring it back to the gospel, the message of salvation. And you can use this illustration there in your notes of the sun and planets. You know, the rightful place of man is like the planet, the relationship of the planets to the sun. God is the center. God is the creator. And our lives revolve around Him. Our rightful place is like a planet revolving around the central sun. But in our fallen state, man has sought to become the sun in his own right, and everything else revolves around him. That's a good description of sin in a nutshell. Rebellion against God. All we like sheep have gone our own way. All we like sheep have gone our own way. We've gone astray. That's what the Bible tells us. And our sinful nature is so deceptive. In the world today, we think going our own way and doing our own thing is a good thing. And everyone encourages each other to live your own life and put yourself first. Has anyone ever told you to do that before? Hey, if you're discouraged, you need to put yourself first. You know, the reason why you're down is because, look, you haven't been thinking about yourself enough. Now, there are some times in our life where that is true because we are not... we've let ourselves go in that sense. But what the world is saying is you need to put yourself first. You need to make sure you're number one in your life, and you need to forget about everyone else and everything else and put yourself first, and then you'll be happy. But you see, that is the bent of the sinful nature, lifting ourselves up above God. And because of sin, we are separated from God. We are separated from God. You know, man is willing to sacrifice, no doubt, absolutely. People have made great sacrifices in the course of the history of mankind. Mankind is willing to share himself and what he has to reach a goal, but he is never willing to dethrone himself. Why? Because of the sinful nature within. Man sits upon his own throne and declares, "I am that I am." That's what mankind declares. So we need to use the word of God, because there is a spiritual battle taking place when someone asks you a question like this. Who made God? Well, it's a question they're asking because they don't know God, and they don't want a God to rule over them. And the reality is, he does. So these are some truths to help them to understand. God not only rules over us, but the moment he would take his hand off you, you would disappear into nothingness. You know, and you can share with them the ultimate reality of that truth. All we like sheep have gone astray, but in his mercy and in his love, God hath laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. God, in his greatness and holiness and in his love, he came down to this earth to die on the cross. He paid for your sins and mine. Imagine the infinite, eternal God of the universe becoming man so that he could physically die and bear our sins on the cross. That's what eternal God did for us. The greatness of his love is shown in the cross. And you can tell that person, you know, you can get to know God. But first of all, you need to repent and return to the Lord, because we're separated. We need to cast ourselves on the mercy and grace of God. There in your notes, Isaiah 45, verse 22. There is nothing we can do for our salvation. Christ has done it all, and the Bible says, "Look unto me and be saved." All we simply need to do is look and live. Amen. Look to Jesus Christ and believe. "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Who made God? No one did. He is self-existent. But God made us. We are dependent on him, and we need to come back to him and be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. Always bring it back to the gospel. When someone asks a question, it's an open door to give an answer. And then you ask a question back in order to keep that conversation going. So I hope some of these truths will be a help as you find people asking questions. But don't be shocked at perhaps the absurdity, you know, the strangeness of some of those questions. You know, we don't take it, sometimes we take for granted how much we know as Christians and how little we knew before we got saved. In fact, I remember after I got saved how many strange questions I was still asking, and we still do today. So don't be shocked, don't be taken aback. Look at it as an opportunity from the Lord when people ask simple and obvious questions, and use the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for, Lord, the greatness of who you are. Father, you are the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. Lord, we thank you that you are all-knowing. And Lord, in your graciousness and in your love, Lord, in your infinite wisdom, Lord, you provided the perfect way for mankind to be redeemed, to be brought back to you by your sacrifice. And Father, we praise you. We pray that we would not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be willing witnesses. Help us to go in humility and with a tender heart for the lost. Lord, especially when they reject the gospel, help us to know, Father, that you have allowed them to live, and you are long-suffering in order that they might be saved. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to witness this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you for being here. And let's continue to pray for one another. Please pray for these requests that we've shared tonight. Let's pack up together and enjoy some fellowship. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you on the weekend.